From Montreal, Canada, it's the Travel World Radio Show.
All aboard!
Yeah! Travel World. Liberty Works Radio Network.
Hi.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Welcome back, Stephen Pickford, Art Farley, Yoav in studio.
Right on.
Good morning.
Yoav brought his wife. I never knew he was married.
No, it's news to us. So.
Well, I told you guys many times.
Actually, you did, Yoav. I owe you an apology because I was the only one who wasn't paying attention.
So you were just being ignorant.
No, that's not ignorant. Ignorant is never having been informed. I was being negligent.
You were pulling an Art Farley.
It was very remiss of Mr. Backus not to have inquired about the marital status of the people on the program.
Well, I agree.
Well, he doesn't quite fit the mold either.
Does she have three children?
No children.
Oh, you're out of here.
No, baby. Do you have any children? No, wait. Do you have any children that I should know about?
Join the fire sale.
Right now,
single mothers of three.
Fire sale.
Anyway, having done that, we have a great show for you today. Yeah. We have Judith Ritter going to come on rather shortly, talking about Macau, Hong Kong, and places far east.
Yeah, so she's been to Shanghai as well, because
hopefully without a script. Yes.
China, after the introduction of tourism in the early 70s, after Richard Nixon's milestone visit to open up America and Canada to visit China, they've built the tourism infrastructure up, and people have been visiting China over the last 20 years, but they haven't had the infrastructure to actually welcome the visitors, and they've made a lot of concerted efforts to improve themselves. And Judith is joining us. She's back from Shanghai, Macau, Hong Kong, and these three destinations are really a good stepping stone to get a good introduction to travel to China.
Hey, Judith, welcome to Travel World.
Hi, how are you? Nice to talk with you guys again.
Yeah.
A great holiday weekend, Canada Day here, Independence Day weekend in the United States. So.
Yeah.
That's right.
Happy 4th of July, Judith.
4th of July coming
first
up
for
on
Judith.
Tuesday here. And a lot of fireworks going off here in Boston, even though it isn't yet the 4th.
Well, they celebrate Canada Day, don't they?
Canada, they don't celebrate that.
Too bad, eh?
You're right. Those three destinations, I think if you want to make your first trip really to China and you're a little hesitant, those three destinations really give you a feel of different kinds of China. Hong Kong, which of course is China too now, but I call Hong Kong China for beginners.
It's a totally different style there. Yes, it's
really
that's
it's
good.
It's a great base from which to visit Macau, Shanghai. It's sophisticated. It's comfortable, and of course we've talked about it on the show before. But it's very Asian, very trendy, very exciting in a fast-paced way. I think that makes even New York City seem a little bit like it's slow.
Really,
A lot of people think of Hong Kong only for shopping, and the shopping is good too, but everybody talks about that. I think the things that a lot of tourists miss there are the things that really give you a feel for traditional Chinese culture and remind you that you're in China when you're in Hong Kong. For example, there's still a strong tea culture. So, you know, while there's a million places to get your regular cappuccino and cafe latte, I, for example, went to the Luck Yu Tea House, and this is the oldest and most traditional tea house in Hong Kong. It's 80 years old. You climb these old, shiny wooden stairs into a room with beveled mirrors and dark wood, round tables. Now, we're talking about old-time Chinese tea.
Right on.
You sit down, and the tea is almost like wine because there are different producers in different ages and different districts. And there's a tea master there who prepares the tea for you. And you look at the menu, there are so many different types of tea. So we took something called Dragon Well Tea.
Dragon Well Tea?
Yes, and they bring something you could never get in North America. They bring you a brass bowl full of hot water, little tiny teacups the size of shot glasses.
And they throw it at you.
Yeah, well, really elegantly, they dip the cup in the water to warm it, and the tea has to brew a certain time, and
wow.
And they come by with a beautiful brass pot with a long, long spout, and the water kind of arcs into your cup. It's very beautiful, very
sedate.
Right on.
Well, that's kind of neat, this way of serving tea. I know people who have particular methods of it. I mean, myself, I just kind of brew the tea normally, but these things, if you have the... Did you have green tea there, or what varieties did you have?
Well, they're all different kinds of tea. As I said, there's a menu as long as a wine list in a fabulous restaurant. But what's great about this, again, in Hong Kong, is not only that it's traditionally Chinese, but it's sedate, and Hong Kong is so wild. And I want to make another sedate suggestion.
Uh-huh.
If you think of Hong Kong, you think of city and skyscrapers. But you can actually go to the countryside in Hong Kong. I went to a place called Cheung Chau Island. It's a fishing village, 60% nature, beautiful, and it's only a half-hour ferry ride from Hong Kong, and you see these little slatted wooden boats with green canvas canopies and seaweed and whole little flattened squids drying on the nets. The fishermen are doing that. Little tiny restaurants along the shore, and we stopped in one restaurant and had the most fabulous seafood, and you can watch fishermen and these broad, pointed straw hats, mending nets. And the thing that's so interesting about this is there you are a half hour from the fast-paced Hong Kong. You can even go to this island with an herbal master, Mak Chun Man is his name, and you can take a rattan basket with you in clippers and walk through the hills with this herb master and pick herbal medicines and take that back to your hotel.
Herbs?
In fast-paced Hong Kong and cook that up.
Not quite like going up north with Jean-Guy Tremblay and with clips and picking herbs out of his garden.
Not quite.
It's a whole ceremony, and people forget that Hong Kong, they have beaches, they have the new territories along the Hong Kong-China border with small farming villages, and this
really
outside of the traditional picture that you get in your mind of Hong Kong, of high-rises.
Yeah. That's what reminds you you're in China. Now, of course, the entertainment scene in Hong Kong, they have everything contemporary. For example, the Kowloon the Shangri-La Hotel has a fabulous new jazz bar, and the Peninsula has that CNB scene bar, Felix. But for a little entertainment, again, very Chinese, traditional Hong Kong, you can go to Beijing Opera, Chinese opera, and you can find this through the Hong Kong Tourism Board. And for a Westerner to go to Chinese opera, it's really unusual. There's a kind of stylized dance and song based on an ancient Chinese legend, and the costumes are extravagant and very dramatic and unusual makeup. And traditional musicians sit on the stage and play traditional instruments. Now, the music for us Westerners without an Asian background is a bit atonal, and the opera is long. It could go hours, but we went for an hour. It was perfect. We snuck out. Nobody seemed to mind. And that was really fun. And there is another very traditional Chinese activity in Hong Kong.
Now, after you go to these nightlife activities, you're also pretty hungry as well.
Right. And, of course, you can go and get your pizza and get your ribs and get all the Western stuff. But they have wonderful, wonderful dim sum. And we've heard about that, of course, here in the West. We have dim sum, too, but they have about a million more things. For example, I had something wrapped in wheat starch dough, and inside was bamboo and mushrooms, and there are all kinds of custard dim sum. One thing called a thousand-layer pastry, and dim sum is
thousand-layer pastry.
Yes, of course, it's not a thousand layers, but it's like spanakopita, many, many layers. And there's even a place.
Yeah, but that's not a pastry.
A place called Healthy Mess that's open 24 hours a day if you want your dim sum hit.
Judith, we've got to take a break in about 30 seconds. So
sure.
We're going to continue.
And we'll talk a little bit more maybe where to stay in Hong Kong, and then we can take off for Macau.
Well, yeah, sounds good to me.
So talk to you in a minute. Stay tuned to the Liberty Works Radio Network. We're back with Judith Ritter and talking about Macau and Hong Kong, places far east, Steve.
And Shanghai, and looking forward to it because I was in Hong Kong, and fascinating, fascinating destination. And we're pleased to be bringing it to you this morning on Travel World on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Roll it, y'all.
You guys are bad.
Travel World Radio Show.
Language is destiny. Every time you speak, read, or write, you expose the limits of your language. The words you think influence your actions. The words you use are always judged. The words you understand reveal what you know and what you don't know. Now with the Vocabulary Dynamics program, you can take charge of your verbal destiny. Easily master a world-class vocabulary, exude confidence and command of the English language, and expand your understanding of thousands of new words. And all you have to do is just listen. Developed by Scott Bornstein, international expert in language learning, memory know-how, and test preparation, Vocabulary Dynamics will unlock your genius for language and word use so you'll never be at a loss for words again. If you call now, Scott will drop the price by almost 40%. Call 1-888-813-7974 toll-free right now. 1-888-813-7974 for the Vocabulary Dynamics Program. 1-888-813-7974.
Speak Out, an hour of news and views for thinking teens and their families. Join us live at 2 p.m. Eastern each Saturday to hear some of the brightest teenagers on radio. Call in or send us an instant message to Speak Out Live. Make your voice heard. Stay informed with Speak Out, news, discussions, and much more each Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern. For the teens in your life, tell your friends. You'll find us on this station and Liberty Works Radio.
If you're overweight, the Catabolic Diet is the most effective, unbelievable program ever created based on over 100 foods that remove calories from your body. Did you know that every food that enters your body requires various body organs such as liver, spleen, stomach, digestive juices to complete digestion? For example, an ordinary piece of cake that has 300 calories may require 25 calories to complete digestion, but a catabolic food that contains 50 calories may require 100 calories to complete digestion, actually removing fat from your body. Diets based on catabolic foods result in staggering weight losses. According to the doctor that created the program, the diet works three times faster than starvation. One lady, written up in the Journal of Medicine, actually lost 256 pounds in a matter of months.
To order the catabolic diet for only $19.95, call 1-800-531-7792 to finally lose those unwanted pounds. Call 1-800-531-7792.
Marion Ross with an important message about memory loss.
Playing the role of a person with Alzheimer's made me realize how little we know about memory loss. If you're having memory problems, you may be able to help us by taking part in a memory impairment investigational study, looking at ways to delay the onset or slow the progression of Alzheimer's. It may not give us all the answers, but it can give us hope.
Participants need to be between the ages of 55 and 90, have a clear memory problem, but still be able to function in daily life, and have a friend or loved one who can serve as a companion throughout the study. For more information, call 1-888-455-0655 or visit our website at www.memorystudy.org. That's 1-888-455-0655. Or www.memorystudy.org.
We all have a part to play in ending memory loss.
30. The Save a Patriot Fellowship wants you to be aware of the following fact. According to the federal tax law, the only authorized withholding of the income tax is from non-resident aliens, foreign corporations, 15. Foreign tax-exempt organizations, and Virgin Island income. The Save a Patriot Fellowship is a full-service organization with members in all 50 states.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with
oh, too many jokes. Nice one, Art. We're back.
The martial arts.
Stephen Pickford and Yoav, of course. in the Heritage Library, as it were.
Yeah, we played that a while ago and reminded us of one of our visits in studio from a past guest. We're talking with
Kenemy,
Judith Ritter this morning, and back from China and Hong Kong and Macau. What about the hotels in the area? Because the area is known for some of the best hotels in the world.
Right, right. Before we run off to Macau, I want to tell you about, of course, these two great hotels in Hong Kong. I think they're both six-star hotels. The Regent is one, and Condé Nast and Gourmet Magazine, of course, have the Regent in their top, whatever, top 10, top 3. The most extraordinary thing about the Regent is its location. It's right on the edge of the Hong Kong harbor, and the hotel has a wall of windows, and two-thirds of the room have harbor view, so you can sit in your room or in the lobby and sip cold lime soda, watch everything from ferries to fishing boats going back and forth across the Victoria Harbor. And I like that a lot, of course, because you're in the air conditioning. It's quite hot out there. The food at the Regent is excellent, too. But another most unusual thing about the hotel is they have a rooftop swimming pool. But the way the pool is constructed, there's a kind of illusion as though the water is pouring over the edge of the building, and you can see the harbor and be in the pool, look right out onto the harbor, and it makes you feel like you are actually in the Hong Kong harbor swimming. And so,
the clear being in the clear water rather than the harbor water.
That's a really cool, that's a really neat pool.
Hey, Judith.
And something I really love about the hotel, and since you were in Hong Kong, Stephen, I know that you may know this area, is that it's right on the on a boardwalk, so you can step out the door of the hotel, walk around the back, and take a nice mile-long walk right around the harbor, and that's lovely.
And that's the
really
setting. And that's the setting where they have their annual food festival in Hong Kong down on the waterfront, and
it's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's a nice setting.
Yeah, Judith.
Probably the most famous and legendary hotel in Hong Kong is the Peninsula, and that's across from the region. It's a colonial hotel built in the early part of the last century. The service is really among the best in the world. They pick you up in a Rolls Royce at the airport, and in fact, it said the Peninsula has the largest fleet of Rolls Royces in Asia. You arrive at the hotel, and there are these massive doors, and they open up, and an ornate ceiling and columns lining the stretch of shiny floor.
Hey, Judith, if I could just interrupt you for a second here.
Sure.
You know, when you're in the United States, you go for Chinese food, you always have people telling you it's not the same Chinese food they have out there.
Right.
Is that does the same apply for the American food out there in Japan?
Not China. Thank you, Art.
In fact, no, the American food, the bit that I had was really excellent, and you know, you can have every level of quality, and it matches perfectly. But the kinds of things you can't have here in North America that you can have there are things like the traditional British tea at the Peninsula, and they have a wonderful Chinese restaurant there at traditional Chinese tea time at the restaurant at the Peninsula too. And you see, you can see all this in a James Bond movie. The Man with the Golden Gun, I think, was shot there. There are always dignitaries at the Peninsula, movie stars. In fact, while we were there, Tom Cruise was there, and John Woo. I never got to see Tom Cruise. He left from the helipad on the roof, but I did see John Woo. And it's very special kind of hotel. And another unique thing about the hotel, of course, are the rooms. They're just grand, and they still keep that old-fashioned feel. There was a brass telescope on a tripod in the room so you could look out over the harbor. It's just beautiful.
Well, it sounds like you didn't want to leave there at all, but then you went on an excursion over to Macau.
Well, I was excited about going to Macau. For our listeners who don't know, it's an island off the coast of China, about 40 miles from Hong Kong. Hong Kong, of course, was ruled by the British, Macau by the Portuguese until last year, and it was turned back to China, too. But it is still so Portuguese in its feel and its lifestyle that it's eerie when you get there and feel the combination of two dissonant cultures, really, you would think Chinese and Portuguese. And you can see that in the architecture and taste that in the food, and you get off at the at the ferry after taking a hydrofoil, and all of a sudden you're in
at
China.
At the Woodland Avenue in Beaconsfield.
No, different hydrofoil. The Macau, yeah. Downtown Macau, when you look at it, it's just like Lisbon in around 1700, 1800.
That's right, and that's what's so interesting, kind of pastel stucco-looking buildings. Now, gambling, everybody knows gambling, who knows Macau, says that's the main reason people go, and that is true.
Right on.
Those casinos are not anything like Las Vegas or Monte Carlo. Those are for hard-nosed gamblers, except at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, which has an upscale casino, which is more familiar the feel to us who are used to North American-style gambling. The only really interesting thing about the gambling is there are some uniquely Chinese games played, and you could try to learn one of them. For example, there's a game called Fan Tan. It's an ancient Chinese game played with porcelain buttons and a silver cup. And so that's an unusual thing to do if you are going to try the gambling.
What if you're going with a family? Is there something there for the kids to do?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's still on the gambling theme. They play Mahjong there. And you know what's really fun to do with young people, in fact, I did it with my teenage daughter, is go out on the street and watch the Mahjong players in Tursena Alley. People have been playing there since 1935. It's a narrow street between old buildings, and they set up all these tables.
They must be tired.
And they're old.
That's a long game, 35 years.
That's a long game.
Actually, it's pronounced Mahjong, but
you're a grandmother by the time you leave vacation.
You can order noodles out. They have a fiddle player. You see a lot of young people in Nikes and soccer shorts playing for a few dollars, playing Mahjong.
Fiddle players?
Yes, a Chinese fiddle.
Did the devil go down to China looking for a soul to steal?
So I think that's fun to do with the kids. That's really fun.
It's something they won't see on the street anywhere in North America, so it gives them that whole feel of a different culture.
That's right. The other fun thing on the street for families or for anywhere is Macau is a great place to get your fortune told on the street or in a temple. I tried both on the street. It was really fun. There
more
was a
ways
guy
to waste your money.
Give 50
them
bucks, they hand you a fortune.
Well, they tell you what you should, your best numbers and so on and so forth, so you might make some money later in the casino. We found a guy in a park sitting at a table under an umbrella, and there was a big crowd around him, kids and adults, old people, and I was told fortune tellers, they're always busy. I got a chance, I sat down. You give the fortune teller your birth date, and I think the kids really would love this. And he moves his hand kind of over your forehead and your eyebrows. He looks at your palm, consults a thick red book. I guess it's Chinese astrology. He's deep in thought. And actually gave me pretty accurate, if a little disappointing, results. So,
he says, you will be going back to North America within 2 weeks.
with an empty purse.
You will not stay.
And another fun but odd thing to do is the best shopping in Macau is in the pawn shops. It's kind of tragic, but you can figure out why.
Where you can find old watches from ex-journalists in Vancouver.
At least you know if you ever lose your plane ticket, you can always go by one of those pawn shops to get a free trip home.
There you go.
Oh, really? They have the most amazing collection of watches and jade and diamonds and, I mean, extravagant Rolexes. It looked like a chain thick enough for pharaohs. And actually, tourists go there and pick up the stuff that the down-and-out gamblers couldn't pick up. If they leave it there longer than 4 months, then it's game for anybody who wants to pick that up.
As long as you've got the time.
Yeah.
You got to know when to fold them.
Yeah.
Know when to walk away. Know when to run.
Too many people think that they're going to win their fortune at the gambling table, and they don't realize their limits. That's unfortunately the way things go in the gambling world.
That's for sure.
But there's lots of fun things to do in Macau besides gamble, and I think that's really what, you know, what I wanted to stress for people who might take that trip using Hong Kong as a base. You can get this great Portuguese food or Chinese food or a mix of food called Macanese food. And one of the nicest thing we did was in the morning we went to a kind of the 18th century Senado Square, and again, you do feel like you're in Lisbon, and we sat at a Portuguese coffee shop and had wonderful cornbread and cheese and café con leche, and then you have to kind of pinch yourself to remind yourself that you are really in China. And
holy macaroni.
Lots of good food to eat, fish prepared with chilies, that's Macanese. And probably the best place to try all the cuisines of Macau is the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, Girasol Cafe. And it's quite a Portuguese feel to the hotel, but with great Chinese food, great spa, nice pool, place to relax while you're in Macau, too.
Gives you that sort of a respite from the wall-to-wall people and the activities. Get away
wall-to-wall people is right. You are right about that.
We got to take a break.
And we're going to continue with Judith Ritter talking about heading onwards to Shanghai after we break for a news update at half past the hour here on Travel World on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Across America via satellite. Roll it, you up. Across America via satellite.
You guys are insane.
Travel World Radio Show.
This is Liberty Works Radio. I'm Erica Riley. This is the news. The Philippine National Bureau of Investigation, or the NBI, recommended prosecution of a computer school dropout suspected of transmitting the love bug virus, which ravaged computers worldwide. NBI Director Federico Opinion said the Bureau had asked the Department of Justice to charge Onel de Guzman with theft and violation of the Access Device Regulation Act, the closest laws investigators could find which apply in the case. The Access Device Act covers the illegal use of passwords specifically for credit cards and bank transactions. Violation of the Access Device Act carries a penalty of from 6 to 20 years imprisonment, while theft is punishable by 3 to 6 years. The Philippines only ratified an anti-hacking law early this month, weeks after the love bug virus hit computers around the world, causing $7 billion in damages. The NBI recommended de Guzman's prosecution in a formal complaint to the Department of Justice, which will decide if there is enough evidence to elevate the charges in court. Opinion said the NBI had not yet spoken to de Guzman, a dropout from a local computer school, but his lawyer had told the Bureau that they would make their case at a preliminary investigation to be conducted by Justice Department prosecutors. Guzman's lawyer previously said his client might have accidentally sent out the virus and meant no harm. The NBI said among its evidence is de Guzman's school thesis dealing with a program similar to the virus, logs from local internet firms, and a diskette with a virus akin to the love bug. The NBI's investigation unearthed 4 hacked email accounts, all under local service provider Sky Internet, which was used to spread the virus. 2 other email addresses from another internet service firm were used as a destination for passwords stolen by the virus from victims. The love bug destroyed computer files, stole passwords, and replicated itself through the address books of affected computers. The NBI will not charge 40 other people identified in a similar virus program allegedly found in de Guzman's Manila flat. That's the news on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
This traffic's backed up almost a mile.
Yeah, probably just gawkers looking at an accident. Whew. Some people.
Well, if there was an accident, I hope they call the police, especially if there's an injury. You know, a police report verifies the accident if damage is discovered later.
I know.
And I hope they contacted their insurance company as soon as possible. You know, some policies require notice within 24 hours.
I know.
They should find a reputable repair facility to find out how much damage was done to their vehicle and how long it'll take to fix. And you know, they should make sure their car drives the same after the accident.
I know. Well, look, see, it's just an accident. You know, we wouldn't have so many accidents if people would just pay attention to...
I know.
Know what to do if you're in an accident. Look for an iCar Gold Class Professional business. This message brought to you by the iCar Gold Class Professionals program in this station.
Do you have trouble remembering things lately? Normally, there are a major amount of fat cells in your head, causing difficulty in oxygen reaching your brain. As we age, this condition worsens, causing memory loss, dementia, and worse. Memory loss is not random, accidental, or inevitable. It is reversible if treated properly. The all-natural, safe, ultra-memory is a result of research conducted at Harvard and leading universities. Studies show that the herb ginkgo can dramatically slow the effects of aging on memory and even improve memory function in healthy young people as well. Ultra-memory contains ginkgo in easy-to-take capsule form. Ultra-memory will help you live a full, functioning life. Find out why leading researchers call Ultra Memory Brain Tonic. To try Ultra Memory risk-free, call 1-800-952-3494. Call now and save an additional 20%. 1-800-952-3494. That's 1-800-952-3494.
Speaking of fun places to go, welcome back. It's Stephen Pickford and Art Farley. We're back. You got to hand it to that news team over at Liberty Works. They are starting to do some really nice coverage and also include Canada in some of their coverage, which is awfully nice. They actually covered that the emergency landing at Dorval Airport better than 940 News in Montreal did.
A couple of weeks ago, they got the name of the airline right and the type of the aircraft, unlike the Montreal station, who supposedly is the only source for news. Yeah.
Other than 940 believed it was Sonny Bono.
Yeah.
The story's mixed up. Judith Ritter is with us.
No, you're thinking more of John Denver.
Shanghai is one of those... Shanghai is one of those romantic, exotic-sounding destinations. I picture it, that period that Shanghai was the center of Asian influence, the business capital from on the end of the First World War until the Japanese invasion. And, Judith, what is it like today? You were there.
Well, I know you and I know Willem and Stephen are real history buffs, and
that's
I think
us.
You really... love the whole magic and exoticism of Shanghai. You still can see some of that history, and I want to tell you about that. Right now, Shanghai is in the middle of a construction boom. 45% of the world's cranes are reputed to be there, and the buildings are just going up like crazy. There is still a lot of what was romantic and historical there, and a lot of that has been knocked down. We found wonderful things to see and do and eat, but one caution really with going to Shanghai, and again, it was nice to go back through Hong Kong and use that as a base to get there. You need a base in Shanghai if you're not a real experienced traveler, because Shanghai doesn't have the infrastructure that Hong Kong and Macau have, and you want to be in a place that you're really comfortable. So for that reason, I'll just tell you a bit about where we stayed first and then what we did. We stayed at the Portman Ritz Hotel, which is right on Nanjing Road, which is an incredible shopping street. And why it's so great to stay there is it's centrally located, and there's even a supermarket outside of Western food, which you might want to use sometimes. The city is a bit chaotic. Sometimes the water isn't safe, and so it's great to have the Ritz as a base. And this is one of those hotels all over the world that concentrates on details, of course. You come into your room, and they have a welcoming exotic fruit. Minutes later, you get traditional Chinese tea served. They have name cards, business cards printed with your name, with the hotel as your residence.
Are you serious?
Some rooms you even have monogram pillowcases. And they have something there I'd never heard of, but I needed it in Shanghai. It was called a bath butler. Can you imagine what this is?
A bath butler?
Yeah, you call and you order a Chinese herbal bath. The valet or butler comes to your room, prepares your bath for you with all these special relaxing Chinese herbs, and then serves you tea and cookies, and of course then leaves the room, and you have this elegant resting place before you take off, so you can rest from your day in Shanghai. And the other thing that's really important about the Ritz is that the concierge service is so excellent there. Because of the language in Shanghai, just not that many people in the city know English, it's really a relief to book your tickets and your restaurant reservations and your tours and everything through the hotel, something you might not do in another more westernized city. And the hotel itself even provides very authentic Chinese entertainment. We saw Chinese acrobats in the Ritz Hotel in a lovely theater. So, as I said, they have wonderful restaurants, the Tea Garden, and the quirkiest thing about the hotel is the general manager is an antique motorcycle nut.
Right
on. If you want to go back in Shanghai time, he'll take you on his antique motorcycle in a sidecar on a trip around Shanghai, and that's pretty amazing.
That's something you don't see everywhere.
No. Did you get sidetracked in Shanghai? Of course,
did we get Shanghai'd in Shanghai?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the most wonderful getting shanghaied or sidetracked was we went to the old city, the old Chinese city, and you really see the history there. There's a place called Yuyuan Gardens, and we were lost because we were looking for something that we know in the West as gardens, but in fact, what it is rock and kind of bush garden from the Ming Dynasty. So it took us a while to find it. There's walkways and arched bridges, ponds filled with carp, big goldfish, and dragons painted on the walls of the buildings. But most interesting, and it's a good question, did we get sidetracked? There are all these crowded alleys in the back of the Yuyuan Gardens, and there are little shops and street stalls selling absolutely everything, shirts and shoes and fruit and cooking on the street and all kinds of vendors hawking things. We actually did something that I think some tourists might hesitate to do, but I thought was just great, and I recommend it. We stopped for tea in a little tiny stall that had a few tables. And we, of course, felt safe with tea. We figured it was boiled water, and the people were so nice to us.
You gotta wonder about all that tea you're drinking, Judith.
How many public washrooms are there in the area?
Well, it's interesting. When you go in those, even though there's a big building boom in Shanghai, and some of it looks like 21st century stuff, when you're wandering in those alleys, actually, there are outdoor washroom facilities for people who live there in sort of public big sinks. People don't have plumbing in
their
homes.
You go into a big public sink to go to the bathroom?
Well, no, not exactly that.
You ever saw that commercial with all those little Chinese boys sitting in the bathtub?
The people are very, very communal and very friendly when you go into the old city. And the most unusual thing is it's trendy in Shanghai to wear your pajamas as day wear.
Well, there's some ladies I know who I wouldn't mind seeing that, but anyway, I digress.
There are people walking around in their pajamas and walking, strutting around quite proud of themselves. That's the latest. You can also see people shaving and cooking on the street, and that's really, really wonderful. And if you want to really go back in history, there's the new Shanghai Museum, which I have to say, qualify this with, I'm not a person who really loves to spend a lot of time in museums looking at dark, complex paintings or even modern ones. But the Shanghai Museum has 11 galleries. It's a state-of-the-art museum, and it made it very easy for a kind of reluctant museum goer like myself. You walk in, and as you approach the cases full of the old porcelain and the wonderful ceramics and sculptures, the cases slowly illuminate. And it's like stepping back in time, and you're looking in, and you see these bronze pieces, really ancient bronze pieces. And most surprising is that you see pottery that is so fragile and delicate, and it's survived hundreds and hundreds of years. And even without the audio guide, and even without an education in Asian studies, which I don't have, I found it very, very fascinating. Of course, I couldn't make the 11 galleries. I'm not that kind of tourist, but it's definitely high on my list of recommendations.
I'm not that
for,
kind of
there you go.
To get a feel of the history. And the best, and you brought this up when we first started talking about Shanghai, is the Bund area. I don't know if you've heard about that.
What? The Bund area?
The Bund area. It's from the 1930s, when Shanghai, in the 30s, the 40s, the 20s, when Shanghai was that city of sin and city of international business. There were gangsters and tycoons and gambling, and there's a whole stretch of buildings along the riverside that are neoclassical and art deco and very European from the turn of the century. And some of most of those buildings are Chinese government buildings now, but it's just beautiful. You walk across the street and you can walk on a promenade along the river and everybody's out. That's where you really meet the people of Shanghai. They were stopping us and it was crazy. We had a camera. They were asking us to take pictures of them with us, which pictures they'd never see. They just wanted to be in the photos with Westerners. And there are people doing aerobics and people doing Tai Chi and lots of kids walking. You could spend a whole afternoon strolling along the Bund, looking at those buildings on the opposite side of the street, and it's like stepping back into colonial times and then talking with the current day residents of Shanghai. They're just wonderful. And the centerpiece of the Bund is a place called the Peace Hotel, which was built in around 1906 and again added on in 1924. It's the most romantic building in Asia.
They couldn't have a peace hotel, of course, in that Italian town of Pisa, because people call it the Pisa Pizza Hotel. But,
That's right.
Will made a funny.
We got to take
it. It was built in Pisa. This is what you don't know. It was built
so it is the
Pisa
Pizza, Pizza
later
Hotel.
Later moved to Shanghai.
Oh, boy.
They had to move it for just that reason. But this is an Art Deco masterpiece, and it's a great place to go at night. They have jazz with the same musicians, some of the same musicians who played in the 40s.
Judith, we got to take a break right now.
Okay. And we'll talk more about Shanghai after the break.
Let's go.
You're listening to Travel World with Willem and Steve.
Stay listening. Liberty Works Radio Network. Travel World Radio Show via Saturday.